Hello and welcome to the Dr. Kirsten Show. I'm your host, Dr. Kirsten Lauridsen, and I think I need to find a new intro now that I keep saying it over and over again. You know how like one of the streamers that we sometimes watch or that like my husband watches a lot, Tim the Tatman says, "Good morning, good evening, good afternoon." It's like he's got a very specific way that he introduces any of his videos or shows. And so I'm kind of thinking like, maybe I need something that's a little bit different. Anyway, if you are new to the show, welcome. Very excited to have you. If you are returning, thank you very much for continuing to listen and to watch the show. I really appreciate all of you. So today's a bit of a different day. I did intend to record a podcast on an episode on nervous system regulation, and we will definitely get there. But today, I just was very inspired by one of my calls with one of my clients. And one of the things that came up was once we've made really big decisions, it can feel really weird to potentially change our mind. So that's what we're going to dive into today. It's like if you've gone through or are going through, or any, in your life, you may at any point in time come up against needing to make a big life decision. And then once you've gone through this like big drawn out decision, there may come a time where you sort of need to reevaluate, like, is this the time to stay? Is this the time to maybe make some changes? And then sometimes it can feel like you need to just stay. Or it can feel really weird to be like, can I even change my mind here? So we're going to talk about that. Okay. So let's give a good example. Like I'll give an example from when I was young, when I was little, well, younger. I was placed in a private school and that was fine. I mean, kind of. It's where a lot of trauma happened for me, which is unfortunate. And it's taken me a long time to heal from a lot of the stuff that happened then. And I spent a lot of my time, especially, well, every year, I would just have this major meltdown right before school would start, and I would just say, like, I don't want to go back. I do not want to go back to that school. And I had I had amazing friends of which I still have to this day. But there was something about either that I had not healed what had happened as the years had gone on, or there was still just something about it that just did not feel right for me. And I know now, looking back, to trust those feelings, but at the time I was, in middle school and high school, I didn't really have the ability to know what was going on, And it's hard too sometimes with kids and teenagers specifically, because we can still get very locked into like our emotional brain and not be able to kind of go up the ladder and be able to use our like logic and common sense and, that part of our brain. So sometimes it takes a little bit to try and like get yourself out of that place. And I can very distinctly know, like I could tell you like the times when my brain was just getting sunk into like big chaos emotions, and losing all sense of like sense at all and logic. And this conversation might seem very logical, right? Of like, well, of course you can change your mind. Of course you can. But here's the thing. So following along with this, it was a really, really big decision to move us to different schools that weren't in like the public school system. And there were multiple reasons. And I've learned even since there were other pressures involved as far as like why we moved schools. And I'm not saying to you that that decision necessarily was bad in the sense of like it gave me an incredible education. And I do think that I have had the success that I've had as far as like As far as I've gone in like the educational world, the academic world, I have a lot of degrees, a lot of high level graduate degrees. So, I do think that for many reasons, I did get a really, really great education, and that was something that was really important to my family. And I do think that was definitely accomplished. And as I said, I've got great friends from that time too that I still have to this day. And the thing is that when you go through making these big decisions, and like what happened every single year, I reached a point where I was like, I just don't want to go back. And I'm not sure that we like, although my mom was like, yes, you don't have to go back. We can like look at different schools. And she'd like, my parents did the best that they could. And they did a very, very good job, I think. And they, and all of that being said, now looking back, what I realized is that my mom was trying to help me as far as like, figuring out what the best fit would be. And I did go and check out some of like the local high schools, and see if that would potentially be a different or a better fit. And I did eventually decide to continue on at the private school that I was at. Looking back now, I wonder though, as far as like, I had a lot of fear because I was a teenager, like I had a lot of fear around, well, what if like I might lose my friends? What if I don't have any friends, at this new school? It's moving schools is like a really big thing. And what if I make the wrong decision? And I think I also had this like sense of, I understood the reason why I was at the school I was at, and I didn't want to compromise like my own future or success in that sense if I like moved schools. Now I know how that can sound, but just I know I yes, I know how privileged that sounds. Yes, I know what that it was really it was a privilege to go to the school that I was at, and I get that. And I think we also need to, this is where, these conversations are so nuanced, because while I know that to be true, when whatever's happening in that place creates such an emotional response of like, I don't want to go back, and you feel it in your whole body that this is not a good fit. That needs to be listened to, right? And we talk about this all the time here and inside of the, when I work with my private clients and inside of my group programs as well. All of my programs, I really should say, that when you know that like the environment that you're at is not, is for whatever reason not a good fit, it's toxic, it's whatever you want to call it, that needs to be listened to. Think about it this way. Like, if we are living in a house that has a lot of mold, that is an environment that will not support or sustain health, because it is physically a problem for the body. And it will create all sorts of symptoms in the human body. That's a very physical, example. Now, from like an emotional standpoint, there are many different environments that people are in that are not conducive to them being both mentally, emotionally, and physically healthy and safe. So we can have all sorts of, what that might look like. And where one person might be okay in that place, another person might not. So it's really important that we remember that there are a lot of different experiences that people can have in the same environments, and all of them are valid. So in this case, like, I really wanted to move schools, and this was just something that was like a big, big, big decision, but I really struggled being able to make that decision. And so when I was with one of my clients this week, one of the things that she was talking about was basically that she had made this long decision, and it had been a lot of, digging through a lot of the emotions and the beliefs associated. And it was this very big decision that she had made that had influence on a lot of other people as well, not just her life. And then, a year later, she said, well, it came time to kind of, reevaluate the decision. And she said it felt like just like schools, right? Like for me, every single year it came back at the same time, like, okay, going back to the school. And, she said it sort of felt like it felt weird that I was reevaluating this decision based on how much went into making the decision. And I said, okay, well, let's talk about that for a minute, because I know logically it seems like, of course, you could make a different decision. Logically, we know that. But our emotional and our energetic bodies oftentimes won't always feel the same way. Like, this changed all sorts of things. Is it okay to then potentially reevaluate that decision and change your mind? Sometimes it can feel really, really weird and awkward to all of a sudden go, okay, maybe I'm going to do something different. But it's really, really important that we give ourselves the ability and also the space to know that it's okay to make a different decision. And here's why. A lot of the times when we want to make these new decisions, there's a big amount of fear or any sort of like emotion associated with making the decision. It's often why people won't change. They won't move. They won't do something differently because there's a lot of fear of what the outcome might look like and what, the difference and all of the things. The best saying that I've, come across recently or over time has been, that the brain will stay in a comfortable hell that it knows versus make a change to a uncomfortable position that it doesn't know but is heaven, right? So the brain will, and this is the reason why I like stayed at the school that I knew was because I knew it and because I was comfortable in it. And there were obviously other things that went into that. And I wanted, anyway, I knew it was comfortable. It is really, really important. So when we are making decisions, it's actually very helpful for our subconscious mind to know that if we decide that we don't like what we did, the decision that we made, we can change our mind. And while I know that there may be some options that maybe don't have that opportunity to change your mind, I'm talking about the ones where you can. Like, if you move schools, it's possible that you might be able to just go back to the other one, right? Or if you, I think it's really, I know that there are some decisions that are kind of final, which in that case, this is sort of a different conversation, but at the same time, you might still be able to do something kind of similar or different in that sense. Like, let's say we move states, and let's say we, and I had this conversation with my mom over the weekend. Like, isn't it interesting how people will move houses and then for a certain reason, like maybe it's for a job or something like that, and then like a year or two later, they don't even have that same job anymore. And now they're there for like a different reason. I think what's really important is to give ourselves the space of knowing that, like, if we move, if we make that decision to move, while we may not be able to go back to the same house that we were at, we can still move back to the place we wanted, like where we were at, if we don't like what we did, or maybe look for a different place. Maybe it's a different state that's going to be a better fit. It's giving ourselves the space and the opportunity to realize when something's not working, it's okay to try something else. It's also really important to recognize, like, okay, well, let's take an evaluation of all of the things and make a decision based off of that. And then if you've made that decision and it's not what you thought it was going to be, or maybe it is great, but you also have another opportunity to reevaluate and see if it does fit. Still, have conversations with the people involved, It all still seems like a great fit. Cool. But it's not unreasonable, even if it was this long, drawn out process of making that decision, it's not unreasonable to reevaluate. Kind of like, too, I think people come up with this a lot as far as like with doctors, right? Like, one of the things as far as what we do is it, in any sort of treatment plan is we go through this process of maybe getting labs and doing all these appointments and all these conversations and yada yada to like make a decision on what the best treatment approach would be. And then there's always a and well, there should be a reevaluation point. That could be 3 months, it could be longer, it could be shorter. And there's a reevaluation of, is this working? And sometimes I have patients that don't go that far, and so I don't ever really get to see them for a reevaluation point, although I would suggest always that there should be a reevaluation point, especially if you're continuing on with a certain treatment plan. So, you know, there's that there, but it's really, really important to have that reevaluation point just to say like, okay, is this still a good fit? Is this still working? Is this still the right approach? And then if it's not, we can make adjustments. If it is, great, then we continue on the way we were, or maybe we make a slight adjustment to something that might be even better, right? Because now, or maybe it is a point where things are going really well, but now it's a time to try to put a different approach in because we're trying to accomplish something for the not only the short term, but the long term. It's keeping like both of those in mind. This is, yeah. So those are like a lot of the different things that can go into making these big decisions. But I oftentimes think that we kind of like don't reevaluate because of things that we think, right? Of like, well, maybe I feel guilty for upending everybody's lives and then being like, oh, maybe this wasn't the best fit. What is that guilt doing? Like, is that really useful? There are definitely times where guilt is probably a good emotion to have, especially if like you've done something wrong or to hurt someone. But in other cases, like that's not a very productive or helpful emotion, right? It's like to feel guilty for trying to improve in some way, right? Like, yes, it might have created some difficulties for some other people, but that's not super helpful. I hope this is making sense because I'm kind of just going off the cuff today because this was just such a great conversation that we had that I thought was really, really important. And so I wanted to have it today so that hopefully if you are in a place where you've realized like maybe you did move, or maybe you made a big move, or maybe you need to make a big move and need to make a kind of a big decision around that. And you're feeling a little stuck in making that decision. Hopefully, this will give you, or this is like something, a tool or a reframe that you can give your subconscious mind that it's okay for us to make the decision that we think right now is the best fit for us, and we can always reevaluate. Always. And while once we make that decision, maybe the grass may not be greener on the other side, and we may not be able to come back to exactly the way it was, I bet there's a lot that you'll be able to learn from that decision and that experience. And I bet there's, you know, things that you can do to kind of get back to whatever it was that might be a good fit. But in most cases, what I find is that there's a reason why right now you're feeling like where you're at is not working. And my guess is that when you, because I see this often, is that once you make the decision, you make the move, and you gain some space from it, what you find is on the other side, somewhere along the line, you get where you're wanting to go. Just sometimes it takes taking the leap of faith that like it's gonna be okay. And you probably won't want to go back. But again, that's very dependent. This is all very like situational and dependent, and I'm trying to cover like each of the different angles. So I know that sometimes we can make I know that sometimes we can make decisions that then we wish we hadn't made, right? And we want to go back. I would then also kind of take another angle on that and say too that like there's a lot of processing that probably needs to happen there, as well as learning and digging through what happened and why the decision was made the way it was, and you know what you'd like to do differently in the future. You know, again, too, I think a lot of this conversation is very important to have as far as that things in life. So we make a lot of decisions in our lives. It's part of taking responsibility for ourselves and for our experience. But also, sometimes shitty things in life happen to us. And that's not of any fault of yours. That's not any you know, you didn't cause that. Like sometimes just wonky things happen and terrible things happen. It's not your fault. It's not something that you caused into your life. And we also here in my community, in the way that me and my clients look at the world, is that we are responsible for how we move forward. We like victim mindset is not very helpful. And we don't stay there. While we do know that like we do process and we do work through the things that happen to us, we recognize that we have the opportunity to learn what we need to learn and be able to move forward. We don't get stuck in that victim place. And if you're there, I know that sometimes we can be there for decades. And you always have the opportunity to choose something different, to move forward, to learn, to gain perspective, to figure out how you want to move forward. This is literally taking your power back from whatever happened, whatever decision you made, whatever, taking your power back and being able to move forward. It's a very, very different experience and place to come from. And to make decisions from. So I think that's a great place to end this. I don't know if this is going to be helpful. I hope it will, because it was definitely a great conversation to have with a client of mine, sort of like a kind of round out for, it was kind of like a cap for what the kind of process that we had walked through together as far as making this decision that she made. And so hopefully this will be helpful for someone that potentially needs it. So next week we will have a great guest podcast on, and then the next one I promise I will do on nervous system regulation, because I know that it's a very big topic right now and also something that a lot of people need. And I think it'll be a really, really good conversation to have in the context of some of the things that I have coming down the road that you might be interested in. And I do know that getting your nervous system regulated is very, very important. So many people are living in fight or flight and in stress. So being able to fluctuate between needing to get into our sympathetic nervous system, which is that fight, flight, fawn, freeze, and then being able to get into our parasympathetic nervous system, which is our rest, digest, creativity, so where we find solutions. This is where we want to reproduce. So low libido is a very common thing of people hanging out a lot in the sympathetic nervous system. So being able to fluctuate between the two is really important. But what happens is people become dominant and like stuck in the sympathetic nervous system and in fight or flight. So when that happens, we see a lot of the lack of the things that are really found in the parasympathetic nervous system. And this is like that healing, all of those things. So people really struggle to heal when they are in that stressed out state. It's what leads to burnout, overwhelm, all those things. which leads me to my next thing. So there's a couple of things coming down the line here. Number one, I have two mini breakthrough sessions. A lot of these calls, we've talked a lot about the subconscious mind. And I think, and what I've realized is that many, through many conversations, is that a lot of you don't really know what that means. What does subconscious reprogramming mean? What does brain rewiring mean? What does working with the subconscious mind and changing it mean? You know by experience what it does, though. Here's an example. If you don't believe that you are worthy of having really good health, now you may know that it's possible for you, you're working towards it. But if you don't believe that you're worthy of having it, what ends up happening is you end up creating or denying yourself that process. Because what ends up happening is it creates these negative loops and thought spirals that then end up creating a lot of self-criticism, a lot of self-judgment, self-doubt, low self-esteem. And what ends up then being created in your life is that is the lack of health or the whatever, whether it's love, success, more big things in life, connection in life, right? Safety. You're what ends up happening is you're like, because of these thought spirals, we end up creating the opposite of what we want. And oftentimes too, we may even like give up on those things, like, oh, well, I'm just never going to be healthy. Or, oh, I'm just never going to find that relationship. Or, oh, I'm just never going to actually be successful. Right? So here's what I've done. You may have experienced this in some way, shape, or form around these different beliefs, but shifting them might seem a little like, I don't know what that means. So I've created these mini breakthrough sessions that are designed for you to shift one thing, one belief, one. So if it's, I don't believe that I'm worthy of success. I don't believe that I'm worthy of health. I don't believe that I'm worthy of love or connection or whatever. I don't believe that I'm worthy to be seen, heard, that I matter. You can join me for these mini breakthrough sessions to see what it's like. And you will literally on the call shift the belief with me. And you then can take that and see how it shifts in your life. And then now you know. Now you know what it is. And that may help guide you towards maybe going a little bit deeper if that feels good to you. So what I have coming up right now is worthy. So that one is if you find yourself, all of the examples I just gave, but also if you find yourself consistently chasing the next thing and the next thing and the next thing and never quite feeling satisfied with where you are at, this could be like climbing the achievement ladder, or maybe you don't feel worthy or deserving of rest. It's really important if you are going into motherhood or you are a mom, being deserving of rest, as well as asking and receiving support and help. I prefer support over the word help. Support. You're going to basically feel like you're doing everything. So, if that is you, this is a great breakthrough session to join and just see what it's like. I also have another one called Ease. And this is more about introducing more flow into the area of your life or your entire life where you feel like you're constantly always struggling, like it's always hard. I made this one because this was a big one for me. I always felt like things were hard and that I had to, that it was in, this is not about working hard. This does not get rid of that, like, I'm just going to sit on the couch and like everything is going to magically happen for me and I don't ever have to work hard again in my life. That's not what this is. This is allowing more flow and more ease to come into your life, which paired with hard work or passionate work just makes things happen with less struggle and a little more ease. Personally, it changed a lot for me because while yes, things in life can be very hard, like working for an Ironman or a trial or whatever, like requires consistent hard work. Yes, absolutely. But if you also believe that everything has to be hard in order for it to be worth it, folks, you pair the two of those together and it is going to be a big struggle fest. So I know from experience. So I created that one. Both of the links will be in the description and in the bio or in this show notes. So if you want to check those out, feel free. And again, they are mini sessions. They are I at the most affordable that I can make them, because I want you to feel like there aren't already just getting over the barrier of like trusting that this is going to help and fit and be a good fit for you is a big piece. So I wanted to make a lot of the other factors like affordability, time, all those things a non-issue. So hopefully you will go and check those out. And then coming up, there will, and depending on when you find this, there will also be ones on safety, feeling safe in your body, feeling safe in your, you know, especially particularly in your body when people have health conditions and things like that, they often find that they don't feel safe in their own body and they don't trust it. So that leads to the second one is trust. Being able to trust ourselves, being able to trust our body, being able to trust our intuition, coming back to that place. Also something that's very, very important if you are a mom or going to be a mom is being able to really tune into that trust and intuition. And also from a health perspective, a lot of people will go to like these massive like Facebook groups and things to like ask people what their opinion is and what supplements and what things they should be taking. That is something that you can, like, that's crazy, first off. And second, because what does a stranger know about anything about your life and who you are? So, what's really vital is that you are able to build and come back to that trust and intuition in yourself to be able to guide the decision that you make. And then lastly, connection. So we're going to also go over any sort of beliefs and shift beliefs around that you deserve or that you are loved, that you can find connection easily and effortlessly, which sometimes also being an introvert can feel really hard. So, go ahead and check those out. I have those all there. There's definitely links in the description, but you can also go to drkirsten.com and they will all be there if you're finding this at a later date. And on top of that, last thing, I know you're, thank you for sticking it out, but I want to make sure that you know what's available. I have a few private coaching spots available, as well as I have a few other programs coming up, one on ending burnout and overwhelm, which if you are stuck in those patterns, I highly recommend checking that out because, and it's going to be partnered right now with our up-level program. So you're getting both in one, which means that you're getting a lot more like group and one-on-one support from both my sister and I, which are, we're both master certified coaches in subconscious reprogramming. So it's one of the ways if you want to really over the next 6 weeks dive in and get to the root of those patterns so that you can lay down a foundation for maybe further work if it's needed, but you at least have a very solid foundation to work from to really get to the root of where those patterns come from. This is the program. It is one of the we have worked, this is the fourth time we ran it, and we've adjusted accordingly for every single thing that we've seen. And it just gets better and better and better. So if that's interesting to you, definitely make sure to check that out. Again, link is in the show notes. And then I do have some other programs coming. I have one on vitality that I'm going to be revamping. This is about really getting in tune with not just the physical health piece of it, which is really important, for the short and the long term, but the mental piece of it. What role does your mind play in you getting the results that you want? Which I find to be, as I mentioned earlier in this episode, to be one of the big blocks that I think people have around really getting to their best health, right? Being deserving of good health. And then finally, I have a mental well-being in motherhood course coming up soon, and I'm thrilled and so excited about this one because I know that it's so needed, and it's one thing that I really hope will be really healing and provide a place for women and moms to really shift and change and heal their mind. And ultimately, that's so that you can really show up as the best version of who you are, but and or the bet a better version of yourself, whatever that looks like. If you know that there are things that are just not working for you, we can work privately on some of those things. But also, you know, maybe this might be another good fit for you too. So, thank you so much for listening. And next week, we'll see you for the next episode with a guest of mine. All right. Have a great week. Take care.